Welcome to Let's Talk Health, a community radio initiative of the Community Health and Social Services Network, CHSSN, funded by the McGill Training and Human Resources Development Project. Our show today is Colon Cancer with Yael Jacob, PIVO nurse with the St. Mary's Hospital Center. My name is Kelly Howarth, and I will be your host for today's show. So I'll start by introducing Yael Jacob. Yael has practiced nursing for 30 years. She graduated from Dawson College with an RN in 1977 and received her BSc in nursing from the University of Ottawa in 1997. Yael has practiced as an acute care hospital for most of her career. She has worked in critical care, surgery, management, and education. And for the last 11 years, she has practiced in the areas of oncology and palliative care. Yael received her certification in oncology in 2000 and in 2005 in Canada, and is certified in chemotherapy administration in the U.S. She has worked for the Canadian Nurses Association for a certification exam development in the specialty of oncology, and she's presently working in a new role established throughout Quebec in all cancer care centers, and that is of Infirmière Pivot. Welcome, Yael. Thanks for being here with us today to talk about colon cancer.
Hello, Kelly. It's a pleasure to be joining you today and to discuss this important topic.
So what is colon cancer or colorectal cancer?
Most colorectal cancers start in cells that line the inside of the colon or the rectum. And for some reason, which is not well understood, suddenly these cells start to grow abnormally and have uncontrolled division and have the ability to sometimes invade through the tissue in proximity to the colon or spread to other parts of the body.
Okay, so if we think about the colon, where is that exactly? What are we talking about?
Okay. The colon is located in the abdomen, in the lower part of the abdomen. And amazingly, there are 6 feet of this long tube that extends from the small intestine, which is connected to the stomach, from the small intestine to the rectum, which is the outlet for waste products from your body.
Okay, so then What are the risks exactly for this type of cancer? Who gets it, and what are the statistics, Yael?
Okay, maybe I'm going to start with statistics first, because, and these are from Canada. In 2007, 20,800 people were actually diagnosed with colorectal cancer, and approximately 9,000 people die every year of this disease. So it's important, and it is the second leading cause of death in relation to a type of cancer in Canada. So what are the risk factors? Age in particular. We know that 90% of colon cancer occurs after the age of 50. And usually colon cancer starts off as a polyp. And so what is a polyp? A polyp is a growth, a small growth that occurs on the inside wall of the colon. People who have polyps, a tendency towards polyps, have a higher risk of colon cancer. There's a small incidence of genetic predisposition to colon cancer, and there are two different unique types, but that only accounts for 1% of colorectal cancer. So it's important, but it's sort of a unique characteristic.
So you're saying a genetic predisposition, meaning if someone in your family has it, you could
Correct.
Get it?
A family history of colorectal cancer. If there's a family history, they can have some genetic testing to verify if they are at higher risk for cancer. And people, there are tendencies sometimes in certain families of a high incidence of polyps, and these people have a higher risk.
So, and what are some of the other risk factors?
Some of the others can be a high-fat diet. And this has become very prominent. High-fat diet and also obesity are very important. I recently received an article which was written by Walter Willett, who's a professor of epidemiology and nutrition in the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health. And what he said which really caught my attention. It says, if you don't smoke, the single most important thing you can do to prevent cancer is to keep your weight under control. And they have linked a high-fat diet, physical inactivity, and obesity, particularly in the abdominal area, to a higher incidence of colon cancer. Occasionally, there is an ethnic background correlation. Alcohol is a small risk. Smoking in relation to colon cancer is also a small risk.
Okay. What about screening for colon cancer? Tell us about that.
This is really important. After the age of 50, as I said, 90% of colon cancer occurs after age 50. There are recommendations of how we can screen, which means looking for people who are at risk of this disease, of colorectal cancer. And so what are the examples of how we can screen? Number one, it's important that people have a family doctor and they go for an annual physical exam. And part of that physical exam is the physician takes a gloved finger and examines the rectum. And when they do that, they usually take a small amount of stool on their fingertip, and there is a special and very simple and non-costly test where they take that small sample of stool and they send it off to check for blood. After age 50 as well, there is a test called a colonoscopy that is recommended for all adults to screen for colon cancer. And what would happen during a colonoscopy is actually a scope is inserted from the rectum, and they look up into the bowel, and they're looking for any growths that occur in the colon.
So then what signs and symptoms should we be looking for?
Okay. Some of the signs and symptoms include particularly a change in your bowel habit. So that can be either constipation, where you have a difficulty going to the bathroom, or your stool changes and becomes liquid or more frequent, and observing for blood in the stool. Other signs and symptoms would include a change in comfort level in the abdomen, such as they have more gas or bloating, fullness or cramps, possibly a weight loss, but that occurs later, feeling very tired, and that can be related to if the person has had blood loss, they might be anemic, sometimes vomiting because there's an obstruction of the bowel, and as well, stools that are narrower than normal.
And so how then is colon cancer diagnosed, Dale?
Okay, so the screening is important, and we'd like to emphasize that after age 50. Starting to have these tests, usually it's every 3 to 5 years, will help to pick up on colon cancer at an earlier stage. Other types of test is the stool test, checking for blood, which can be done by your doctor, the rectal exam, and if there is a suspicion based on those exams, which are the most important, your physician may send you for some x-rays, such as a barium enema, a barium swallow, or a biopsy if there is a growth observed somewhere.
We've heard of staging and grading of colon cancer. Tell us a bit about what that means.
Staging is asking you what degree is the disease? How far has the disease advanced? And there are actually 5 stages, which is early stages means it can be actually curable, up to 90% curable. And late is when the cancer cells have actually invaded the wall of the colon and possibly even spread to other parts of the body. Colon cancer most commonly spreads to the liver. 40% of patients, when they're diagnosed with colon cancer, may already have what we call distant metastases, referring to spread. And the number one area is the liver. And people ask me, why does that happen? why can it already spread before it's detected? And that's important to know, is that there is lots of space in the abdomen for a tumor to grow, and unless it obstructs the bowel, patients don't always feel symptoms, or they haven't paid attention to the symptoms that they've experienced.
So they wouldn't even know they have it.
It's possible, unless they're having pain or signs of blockage of the bowel, or they haven't paid attention to those signs that we talked about earlier.
And then getting back to grading, what is that?
Grading is referring to how different those cancer cells look compared to what normal colon cancer cells look like. The more different it is, it means the more aberrant it is, usually it's more serious or more aggressive.
So I guess why it's important to know this is it can help us get into treatment, right? To find
Correct.
The best treatment and as early as possible.
Guide what type of treatment.
Okay, so what kinds of treatments options are available for colon cancer then?
Generally, the first treatment that is considered is surgery, an operation to look at whether the tumor can be removed. Now, surgery really depends, the type of surgery that is done depends on where the tumor is located. In particular, often we talk about colon cancer and colorectal cancer interchangeably. And when we talk about the rectum, which is the furthest end of the colon, in particular now, the approach to management is usually chemo and radiation therapy, even before surgery. If it's higher up in the bowel, then surgery is done first. Then the other treatment options include radiation, which is like it's like X-rays are penetrating tissues to in an effort to either reduce the size of the tumor and shrink it prior to surgery. And this is important particularly in rectal cancer. Chemotherapy is referring to medications or drugs that are utilized to treat cancer cells. And it's very routine that patients with colorectal cancer require chemotherapy. And the reason for that is to reduce the chance of the cancer coming back and increasing the survival for the patient. For instance, in rectal cancer, if you do not give chemotherapy, the recurrence is as high as 50%. And then there are some new types of treatment called biological therapies. What these therapies do is they use the patient's own immune system to fight cancer, or they are often referred to as target drugs. And there is one in particular called cetuximab that is used for colon cancer. And then there is another type of drug called anti-angiogenesis drugs. What these drugs do is reduce or interfere with the circulation going to a cancerous tumor. And by cutting off the circulation, it causes the tissue, the tumor, to actually die. And there is a new drug very, very commonly used when there is a recurrence of colon cancer called Avastin that has been available in Canada for about the last 2 years.
So then what resources on cancer and specifically colon cancer are out there for our listeners, Dale?
There are quite a few. One, I would say a local support group. So if you speak to your primary nurse or your PIVO nurse in any cancer center, they can refer you to a support group in that city. The Canadian Cancer Society is an excellent resource that has information on disease, support programs, advocacy programs. Also within Canada, we have the Colorectal Cancer Association. And in the United States, which anyone can access by the internet, there is the Colorectal Cancer Network.
So these are all very good cancer resources for people. So in a nutshell, what might you just say in summary to people to take better care around colon cancer, to be more aware?
I think it's important for people to be aware that this disease is out there, to be informed on how do we screen for this disease, and to focus on good nutrition, exercise, maintaining body weight, and not to be frightened if they're experiencing changes in their health. The most important thing is to seek medical assistance.
Great. Thank you, Dale, for talking to us today about the importance of colon cancer. We hope that you, our audience, have learned more about this topic. I'm Kelly Howarth, your host for Let's Talk Health. Thanks and have a great day.